The central character in many of Philip Roth's novels is Nathan Zuckerman, and for years readers have presumed the character was largely autobiographical. Zuckerman reappears in Roth's latest work, an autobiography. Book critic John Leonard has this review.
In the spring of 1987, Philip Roth emerged from minor surgery into an extreme depression, on the edge, he says, of emotional and mental dissolution. That breakdown led to this book, a try at recovering the real Philip and the life this Philip really lived from the many fictions by the novelist Roth into which he had been dissipated and embroidered, improved or traduced, as Portnoy, Kepesh, Tarnopol, and Zuckerman. This Philip loved his mother and father and Newark, New Jersey, and they loved him back, except maybe for Newark. And he was, generally speaking, a much nicer Jewish boy than Irving Howe and the rest of the heavyweight critics at Commentary Magazine believed him to be, although their hatred hurt his feelings. On the other hand, if they hadn't hurt those feelings, he might have forgotten how to be Jewish. He might have gone on to write about something else, in the manner of Henry James, like his novel Letting Go, or in the manner of Flaubert, like his novel When She Was Good. Just as if it hadn't been for his entanglement with the obsessive, destructive, alcoholic Shiksa Josie, his first and only wife, from which he sought to cure himself in psychoanalysis, he would never have written Portnoy's Complaint, or My Life as a Man. Although Portnoy, which he calls a full-scale comical counter-analysis, also owed a lot to Lyndon Johnson and Vietnam. On the third hand, why doesn't everybody realize that what he has always done as a writer is, quote, set out spontaneously to improve on actuality in the interest of being more interesting? The facts is always interesting, and sometimes brilliant. When, for instance, he is his mother's privileged pampered papoose, worming his way into her sleek black sealskin coat, quote, the unnameable animal me, bearing her dead father's name, the protoplasm me, boy baby, and body burrower in training, joined by every nerve ending to her smile and her sealskin coat. To be it all is to be her Philip. And he can shock our socks off, as when he learns that Josie, amazingly, is dead. Quote, how could she be dead if I didn't do it? When this Roth gets his act together, as he did in Goodbye Columbus, in Portnoy, in The Ghostwriter, and in The Counterlife, he's so good you wish he'd stop talking about himself and just get on with it, with his cantatas and his sonatas. But Roth will always be Roth, and so it's no surprise that the facts concludes with a long letter from his character, Zuckerman, advising him not to publish this book, deconstructing it, tearing it to shreds. Where, asks Zuckerman, is the anger and the hubris? The bad boy who needed to write those bad boy books. According to Zuckerman, only with the panacea of imagination can, quote, the truly shaming facts ever be fully born, let alone perceived. Ergo mythology and dream life. Ergo Greek drama and modern fiction. And Zuckerman's Gentile wife is also a critic. She doesn't like Roth's attitude toward women, and she's weary of his worrying of these old Jewish bones, this hang-up about being desexualized. And Zuckerman and his wife are right, and their creator all but admits it. And so Roth gets to be tiresome and write an interesting book about it too, preempting all criticism by doing his own dirty work. I hope he feels better, but enough already.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine and is a columnist for New York Newsday. He reviewed The Facts, a novelist's autobiography by Philip Roth.